Good morning. I was thinking while we were singing and taking the Lord's Supper, it's nice to be able to just focus and meditate in ways I haven't for a while. And on an unrelated note, our kids are staying the night at mom and dad's last night, so they were gone today. So I don't know if there's a correlation between those two things. But even that, you know, it's strange, you know, when you're just used to everything is with them. I woke up this morning early and it's, you know, dark outside, and I'm like tiptoeing in the bedroom trying not to wake them up in the next room. I was like, I don't have to do this. I can just walk, you know. So it's just those little habits are built in. But even something as simple as being able to just sing without stopping to answer questions, you know, you just, but that's life and that's the Lord too, you know. So, but it was nice to be able to sing and break bread and do all that stuff a little bit more engaged than sometimes I get to. But anyway, let's go on to the lesson. This morning I want to talk about a subject that's important and emphasized quite a bit in the Gospels, and a subject that was one of the primary sources of conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders, the Jewish leaders of his day. And that's the subject of tradition. A few years ago, the elders had asked me to do a series of lessons that talked about the authority of the Scriptures and what we as people are meant to do in terms of how we approach the Scriptures to understand and apply. And the last lesson I did was on tradition. And so what I want to do this morning, that was a long time ago. What I want to do this morning is come back to some of those things, revisit some of those things, and then next week what I'd like to do is build on that a little bit more. But I figure it's a little bit rusty that I know everybody's slept since then. So if you remember some of these things, hopefully that's not a bad thing. But the reality is this is just a concept that's so important just from a scriptural standpoint because of the emphasis it's given. And we recognize in practice just the abuses of tradition through the centuries. And so we want to make sure that we're thinking really biblically on some of these things. So if this is familiar, hopefully, again, that's not a bad thing. But I want to start first by thinking a little bit about Jesus' conflicts with tradition and just observing that Jesus' conflicts with the Pharisees often revolved around tradition. That wasn't the only thing there, but that's one of the major things that's at the center of their conflict and difficulty. What we see is simply the Jewish leaders honored their own traditions, and a lot of times Jesus did not. Or we would say the Jewish leaders honored their traditions on par with or even above God's written word, and Jesus honored God's written word. And so what you see is Jesus frequently disregarded their traditions. And it seems he made a point to do so, and the Gospels record multiple examples of this. We know that, like in Matthew 12 and Mark 2, Jesus ate in the grain fields, Jesus' disciples rather, ate in the grain fields on the Sabbath. Later on in the same context, Jesus healed a man with a withered hand in the synagogue on the Sabbath. In Luke 13, we read that Jesus healed a woman in the synagogue on the Sabbath. In Luke 14, Jesus healed a man in the Pharisee's house on the Sabbath. In John 5, Jesus healed the sick man by the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath. John 9, Jesus healed the blind man on the Sabbath. And then in Matthew 15 and Mark 7, we see Jesus ate with unwashed hands, which again dishonored their traditions. And along with just several other behaviors that challenge their own conventions. So you see Jesus doing that. But with that, as we see that just emphasis throughout the Gospels and that just repetition of his behavior, recognize Jesus never disregarded a single command of God or principle of Scripture. He was always clear to emphasize the Scriptures, but never disregarded that. What he did do was disregarded human tradition on these occasions. And as we said, he made a deliberate point to do so. He was making a point and so on. Jesus' unconventional, untraditional teaching and practice, that's what becomes this source of controversy and source of hostility for the Pharisees. I mean, the scene in Mark 3 when Jesus enters into the synagogue on that occasion and this man with the withered hand walks in, I mean, the religious leaders were just sitting back waiting to just pounce on him, waiting for him to just break the tradition so they could pounce. And then Jesus asks the question, is it lawful to do harm or do good on the Sabbath, to save a life or kill? And they were so hardened to their own position, their own views. They wouldn't even answer an honest question like that. And so Jesus healed the man. And then what you see that proceeds to happen is they go out to plot to kill him. And so they're the ones that are actually plotting to kill on the Sabbath. So again, just emphasizing their hypocrisy in the whole thing. But so again, Jesus frequently disregarded their traditions. Jesus always honored God's written word. And again, you just see his reverence for the scriptures. You see his attitude towards the scriptures. You see his obedience of the scriptures over and over throughout the gospels. When tempted by Satan, Jesus wasn't appealing to human wisdom, philosophy, opinion, tradition, any of those things. He answered, "It is written." And that was the thing that guided him through temptation. When the religious leaders repeatedly questioned and tested Jesus, saying, "Is it lawful?" They asked that question all the time to Jesus. Again, he didn't appeal to his opinion. He didn't appeal to tradition. He didn't appeal to anything. But he said, "Have you not read?" Appealing to the human to the written word of God. And then even in his own arrest and death and on all the things that were going along there, his concern was the written revelation of God. He said, "How then would the scriptures be fulfilled that said it must happen this way?" And so even in those darkest points of his life, he's constantly referencing in his mind what the scriptures said and wanting to make sure that he's living in a way to fulfill that. And so Jesus' reference point was not, "This is how we've always done it. This is what we do." Jesus' reference point was, "This is what God says. This is what God does. This is who God is." And that was his reference point for every decision, every action, every speech, anything you see in Jesus. It was always the scriptures. And though you can point to a lot of scenes in Jesus' life and realize, okay, that's what's going on here, this conflict between human tradition and divine command, that really comes to a head in Matthew 15 and Mark 7. If you would, let's go to Matthew 15. I want to read both of these. Each one will draw out slightly different nuance and emphasis, so I want to just go ahead and read both of these this morning. But Matthew 15... Matthew 15, beginning in verse 1. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'He who speaks evil of father or mother should be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have to help you has been given to God,' he's not to honor his father or mother. And by this you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching in doctrines the precepts of men.'" Then if you would go to Mark 7. Mark 7, we'll pick up in verse 1. "The Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him, and when they'd come from Jerusalem and had seen some of his disciples were eating their bread with impure hands, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they cleanse themselves. And there are many other things which they've received in order to observe, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. The Pharisees and scribes asked him, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands?' And he said to them, 'Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it's written, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men." He was also saying to them, you're experts at setting aside the commandments of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever I have to help you is Corban, that is to say, given, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you've handed down, and you do many things such as this. All right, so picture this scene. Here's an interaction where somehow the religious leaders witnessed Jesus had not washed his hands. His disciples had not been washing their hands before the meal. And this was not a matter of hygiene. Like we would say that today and be like, that guy didn't wash his hands before, you know. And there's signs on the bathrooms when in restaurants, you know, employees must wash. So we're thinking something totally different. For them, it was a matter of ceremony, ritual, purity. But it was a tradition. But they see him not do this. They see him not going along with their traditions. And they're very bothered by this. And so they ask, why do you not keep the traditions of the elders? Why do your disciples not keep the traditions of the elders? And Mark gives us a little window into this particular tradition and says they've got all sorts of traditions like this that deal with washings and cleansing and all this. And realize, even though some of these things were very likely based in the purity laws in Leviticus, these were not from the purity laws. These were their tradition. And the text is clear about that distinction. But so the way Jesus responds to this particular question is twofold. He's eventually going to answer the question about the cleansing and the why he doesn't wash his hands. But he does that later, and that wasn't in the part we read. What he does first is deal with the more fundamental issue of human tradition versus divine commandment. And so he makes these observations about them, you know, making a claim to worship God, wanting to sound righteous and pious, but what they're doing is neglecting God's command for the sake of their tradition. He illustrates it with one particular example, this thing that Mark calls Corban, which means given. And the idea is you know, they would have their possessions and their resources, and their parents elderly parents are needing care, and they say, you know, I can't help you out, Mom and Dad. It's given. It's given to God. And that sounds super righteous and pious and spiritual because I've dedicated all my money to God. But it ended up saying, well, I can't honor my father and mother because I'm fulfilling this tradition. I'm doing this Corban thing. And so what we see is here's this occasion where God's word says this and their tradition says this and they're choosing their tradition over God's word. And that's where Jesus really drew the line and emphasized. But what we see in all of this, the short of it is, the Jewish leaders condemn Jesus for not honoring their traditions. Jesus condemned the Jewish leaders for not honoring the scriptures and for honoring their traditions often above the scriptures. And what I want to do is step back and just think through this, just Jesus' attitude towards tradition in general, and make sure we see some important differences in terms of realize he's not just coming at tradition itself, but let's kind of think through this. So one is Jesus did not just condemn tradition. So he had no problem with something that was old, no issue with tradition of itself. For Jesus, it wasn't a matter of new versus old, liberal versus conservative, progressive versus traditional. For Jesus, it was a matter of truth. What has God said? What has God revealed? What has God written? When Jesus answered Satan, it's written. When Jesus answered the Pharisees, have you never read? When Jesus is being arrested and saying, how will the scriptures be fulfilled? He was honoring something very old, very conservative, very traditional. And so recognize that. It's not age as much as source. When another example of this, when the Pharisees asked specifically, is it lawful to divorce? Matthew 19, Mark 10. Jesus answered, have you not read? And he quotes Genesis 2, right? So, if, you know, talk about tradition. Talk about traditional. He quotes this principle from the beginning. You can't get much older than the marriage of Adam and Eve in the garden. So again, Jesus' issue wasn't with tradition itself. The important thing for him was not age, but source. The traditions Jesus honored were of God. And so we recognize to honor God's traditions is to honor God. And so realize his attitude towards this, he didn't condemn tradition of itself. And we can recognize this. Jesus didn't even condemn human tradition in and of itself. Jesus himself would keep human traditions that were harmonious with the written word of God. You look at Jesus in John 2, and he's at a wedding feast, right? He was participating in a human tradition. Marriage is from God, but specific wedding customs are from man. Yet you see Jesus just participating in those marriage customs. He's participating in human tradition. That wasn't the problem because it harmonized with God's word. In John 10, Jesus is at the Feast of Dedication. Him being there in the temple on this occasion, he's participating in human tradition. We recognize that feast was not prescribed in the law. It originated during the Maccabean period, about 160 some years before Jesus. It was particularly this feast was to commemorate the reconcentration or consecration of the temple after it was defiled. But so this was, you know, something that we know of today as Hanukkah or the Festival of Light. But again, Jesus was there participating in that. That was a human tradition. Even something that's just woven throughout the Gospels, when Jesus read and taught in the synagogues, he was participating in a human tradition. The synagogue was not given by God in the law. It was something that developed later on, but Jesus went to the synagogues. So again, he had no issue with human tradition in and of itself. So again, why take such a strong, deliberate stand against the Pharisees and some of their traditions on some of these cases? And this is the important difference that we need to see. Jesus condemned human traditions that violated God's word. And so again, think back to that particular Corban issue, the tradition of Corban. They had several traditions like this that had the appearance of spirituality, but they violated God's word. And in that context, back in Mark 7, one of the things he said is, you're experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. That's really what he's getting at here is they have these traditions, these things they uphold, these things that seem so spiritual, but they set aside God's command in order to do this. And again, that wasn't the only thing. He said you do many such things as that. Traditions are good if they're from God. Human traditions can be good if they harmonize with God's written word. Human traditions are sinful and intolerable if they violate God's written word. And that's really where Jesus gets at with this section. And so rightly Jesus condemned those. There's another aspect of this though too. Jesus condemned human traditions that were honored as God's written word or on the same level or same plane of authority. In Matthew 15 verse 9, when he talks about teaching as doctrine the precepts of men. You know, they're claiming these things, they're teaching these things, they're enforcing these things as if they're on the same plane with God's word, as if they carried the same weight as authority as the written word of God. And then the reality is they valued and taught their tradition above the written word of God. But realize there is no place for this in the kingdom of God, this kind of elevation of human tradition, this kind of trumping of God's word for human tradition. And when Jesus challenged tradition and made a point to disregard their tradition, he didn't attack tradition or even human tradition. He was going after human traditions that were rivaling God's word. So we see this scripturally in Jesus' conflict with the religious leaders, and we step back and just think through what was his attitude and make sure we see the difference between tradition, even human tradition, and these kinds of things that go after God's word. But let's think about this personally and look internally and say, what should our attitude be towards tradition? And the first thing that I think about is just one, learning to recognize the difference. Learning to recognize the difference between what is from God, what is from man. Learn to recognize the difference between God's principles and our traditional application of those principles. Let's illustrate this a little bit. The Lord's Supper, in and of itself, is from God. The format with which we've just observed the Lord's Supper, how we sit, the means by which we distribute, even the wooden table that says, probably this due in remembrance of me. I forgot to double check, but I think that's what it says, right? You know, those kinds of things are human traditions. They're not, you're not going to read about silver trays and pews and this due in remembrance of me inscribed on wooden tables in the scriptures. But what we see is Jesus taking the bread, taking the cup, and infusing it with memory and purpose and all those kinds of things. So we see the difference between God's principles, the scriptures, and tradition. Again, the fact that we meet together as Christians and the focus and the content of our meetings are from God, right? You read throughout the scriptures and you see those kinds of things all over the place. The location, the times of our meetings, some of the specific focuses of our meetings are the traditional application of those principles, the traditional ways we've gone out and applied that. So again, first step is just we got to be able to see the difference. If we can't do that, then we're on dangerous ground cuddling up next to the Pharisees and the scribes in their error. So again, learning to recognize the difference. And with that, we must not interpret God's principles through the lens of their traditions. I referenced this example earlier, but the occasion, it's Matthew 12 and Mark 2 when the disciples are walking through the fields on the Sabbath day, the grain fields, and they're eating, they're just picking their heads. The scribes and Pharisees on that occasion accuse them of doing what's not lawful on the Sabbath day. The reality is they only were violating their human tradition, but the law said nothing about, you know, picking a head of grain and eating it when you're on this walk. They weren't working, they weren't threshing, they weren't harvesting. They were, you know, like going to the microwave, popping in the snack, and you know, like it wasn't work. They weren't violating God's law, but the religious leaders were so used to seeing things through their world of tradition that they were interpreting the scriptures through that lens. And it's easy to fall into that trap of interpreting God's word, God's principles through the lens of, well, this is the way we've always done it. It's easy to miss God's principle as it was communicated in the original context. And that's why context and background, some of that the exercise in Bible study is so important. We must carefully, honestly work to strip away preconceptions to see God's word as it's revealed. We all are subject to that in anything in life where we have our own experiences, our own assumptions, our own preconceptions that we bring to the table. And when it comes to God's word, we've got to do our best to let those go and just simply hear. We must start with the scriptures and then apply. We must never start with what we do and then try to understand, try to prove, try to justify practices from that perspective. And so, again, be careful not to interpret God's word through that lens. We must not teach or enforce our traditions as authoritative. Our loyalty must be to God's word and God's will. You know, it's not about throwing out tradition or any of that, but the fundamental loyalty is to the Lord, what He's said, what He wants. We must seek to uphold and defend His word and His will. And certainly we must never violate God's word in our traditions. Anytime we find some way we're doing it of hindering something that God said, scrap it, throw it out, whatever, because we must never violate God's word in our traditions. And I think it's important that we see this as well. Human traditions may change. God's principles, God's word does not change. Times change, cultures change, circumstances change. The word of God does not. What was most effective in one place at one time may not be the most effective in another place or another time in terms of how we obey, how we live out a certain principle. Don't cling to tradition because that's the way we've always done it. Cling to tradition because you want to glorify God and edify His people. That's the fundamental drive that we see emphasized in the scripture. At the same time, don't cast away tradition because that's the way we've always done it. Cast away tradition because you want to glorify God and edify His people. But you see the thing that moves, tradition can move. Whether you cling to it or keep it, that can move. Glorifying God, edifying His people, that never changes. change for the sake of change, we would recognize, has no substantial spiritual benefit, right? We might be able to say, yeah, it's nice to like do something just to wake us up a little bit, but ultimately, change for the sake of change has no lasting substantial spiritual benefit. Simply changing some format, seating layout will not in and of itself draw me closer to God. But again, change for the sake of God's glory, change for the sake of edification, change for the sake of God's principles revealed in the scriptures, we must always be open to that. But so realize what I'm hoping we're seeing in all this is the right balance in how we think through these things. If the phrase or the idea, this is the way we've always done it, becomes a driving force in our planning, in our decisions, that's when I would say, all right, that's time to reevaluate. Evaluate what the scriptures teach on a given subject, reevaluate our practice in light of God's principles. Again, God's word must be our unwavering, uncompromising standard for everything we believe, everything we teach, everything we practice. And so again, start with Jesus and see what went on in his day, how he responded, recognize his attitude, but let's follow him in our own attitude and make sure we find that right balance and perspective. We can look back at the people in his own day and see how blinded they were by it. We can look back at different points in history since that point and see how traditions have corrupted and led people astray. And so we've got to just be on guard against this. This is something that's emphasized so much in the scriptures. And so let's be sure that anything close to that's never in our mind here. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I thank you for your love and your compassion, your wisdom. Thank you for your word that you give us that is so full of your wisdom to fill us up and give us direction and guidance and gives us purpose and meaning. That helps us navigate the difficulties we face in this world, but also gives us an initiative to strive for and conform to and be transformed by. Help us all to be more and more deeply rooted in our understanding of your word. Give us understanding, give us wisdom, that we may know you, that we would walk worthy of the calling which you called us, that we would bear fruit, that we would please you in all that we do. Help us all to always be humble, always to be honest, always to love you and your will above anything of our own that we tend to cling to, whether it's in our personal lives or whether it's the ways we function together as a family. Help us, Lord, in our hearts to be more and more devoted to Jesus, to be more and more like him in all we do, to learn to always live with him as a reference point for everything, from how we live to even our approach to read and study and teach this and live out the scriptures. Help us to be more encouraging to one another, to truly build each other up, to be more devoted to loving our neighbor as ourself and being able to impact others with the love that we've known in you through the death of your son. May your purpose, all that we see in the cross through the death of Jesus, in the resurrection, just get inside of us more and more, and may it shape everything that we do. Thank you for the hope you give us. The age to come and enjoying fellowship with you and living out your eternal purpose. Thank you so much for your grace and upon grace and your mercy. In Jesus we pray. Amen. We'll take this time now to sing a song, and while we're singing, if there's anyone that needs prayers, whether you just need to be encouraged or are struggling through sin and want to confess that, we can pray for your healing, or if you're ready to begin walking with Christ and repent and put on Christ in baptism, we want to help you with that. If there's anything we can do, please come forward as we stand and sing.